Blog Talk Radio.
I want to remind everybody that we typically are Saturday, 10 a.m. on the West Coast. Because of a bunch of scheduling issues, I moved it to Sunday. But just to give you a heads up that Saturday is the typical program and all future programs will be there. If you don't see the program on your schedule, whatever you're using, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or the numerous other networks that feature Earth Ancients, usually it'll come up in a streaming program within a day or so. So just be patient. And if you're really unsure what's going on, I usually post that information on Earth Ancients Facebook. So just go to Facebook, dial in Earth Ancients, see what the schedule is. So anyhow, welcome. Hope you're doing well. Last week we talked about shamanism, and I thought Mr. Barry's presentation was pretty good. And it's funny, following that talk, I discovered a very interesting article, which I have posted on the Facebook page. Is called "What a Shaman Sees in a Mental Hospital." And the kind of curious part of this is, if you read the article, and I really suggest you do, is what a Native American, how a Native American views mental illness. And this article is fascinating because a shaman comes and he visits an American mental ward. And he perceives these individuals as going through healing crises to be reborn as healers or as a shaman. And he observes these various states of consciousness. Some people are schizophrenic. Some are dealing with multiple personalities and so on and so forth. And what he observes is transformation. And these people who are, in some cases, you know, what we would consider just deeply disturbed, trying to bridge, according to him, trying to bridge a number of realities. And it's a fascinating look at our mental health system. He actually gives an example of one individual who, with the permission of his of the parent, he takes back to Africa and works with this individual, and he heals him and actually helps him shift from this what we would call a mental illness to a healer state. And this young man later becomes a psychologist. So the article again is called "What a Shaman Sees in a Mental Hospital." It's by Stephen Moronin, and it's a shamanic view of illness according to their perception. And I mean, the whole part of shamanism is looking at different realities, and our Western society is so locked into technology, towards mechanization. Many of us have lost our way, and I think that it may lead in some cases for those who are highly sensitive to a form of mental illness, if not full-blown mental illness. So anyhow, that article, again, What a Shaman Sees in a Mental Hospital, is on the group page. So go to Facebook, dial in Earth Ancients, and look up group, and you'll see it. There's quite a beautiful face of one of the shamans there. So take a look at it. Most of you know that for years I was the program director for a national a conference called Whole Life Exposition. And I literally met with hundreds of different authors, researchers, scientists, investigators in a wide variety of subjects. And I happened to meet an astronaut. His name was Dr. Brian O'Leary. And I just, and Brian was a speaker at a number of our conferences, and quite a brilliant man. He was a assistant professor of astronomy at Cornell University. He taught physics at Princeton. And like a number of other astronauts, his perception of NASA's look on space, deep space, and some of the contacts that people have had with off-world beings was very unique. I'm bringing up Brian right now, Dr. O'Leary, because I just discovered he passed away a couple of years ago. And I was shocked to learn that because I wanted to have him on the program. He wrote quite a bit on free energy, cheap, free, reusable energy. And his book, Reinheriting the Earth, is a look at all the science out there that has been developed for free energy and its possible use, not only in America, but in other parts of the world. And Brian had quite an interesting look. It's funny because here's a traditionally trained scientist. And by the way, he passed away in July of 2011. And just before he passed away, he made a number of startling statements. Probably the most startling was that we need to look at UFOs a little closer. Unidentified flying objects. I laugh and I used to laugh with him about this because here's this brilliant man who was picked by NASA to be on the Apollo group. He didn't actually get into space. They decommissioned the whole Apollo program just because they moved into other areas. But he was one of the first groups of scientist astronauts that they were planning on sending into space. He was a scientist who studied the physics of a lot of things. And when he ended his career as an astronaut, he was, like I said, an assistant professor, but he was very interested in the propulsion systems around UFOs. And I would have Brian on a couple of different UFO panels with people like Stanton Friedman, who a lot of you know about. Even Zachariah Sitchin was on a couple of panels with Brian. And these panels were wildly successful. Thousands. I think I had a program in Austin, Texas, where there was 1,500 people standing room only. And what these guys had to say was, of course, fascinating. We all know about Zachariah Sitchin. We know about Stanton Friedman and the Roswell incident. But when it came to Brian O'Leary's discussion, he was very, very interested in the propulsion systems behind these craft. And he wrote a number of articles around the secrecy of UFOs and what the government knew. And Blayton, his entire presentation was not only his understanding of these propulsion systems, and if you know, I have to be careful what I say here, because Earth Ancients is about ancient societies, known and unknown. That's what I've been pushing, and that's what I talk to people. So I don't really talk a lot about UFOs, but I have a great fascination with them also. But his interest was how these ships were able, these off-world ships were able to start and stop in our atmosphere on a dime with no apparent damage to the ship. And we're talking pushing 8, 10, 12 Gs in the way they're moving in space is what they're predicted to have moved at. And his great understanding, his great focus on that. So anyhow, I bring it up because I was shocked, and it's a terrible loss, and I'm sorry to see him go. And if you get a chance, read his book, Reinheriting the Earth, and how he describes clean energy, anti-gravity propulsion, which is based on some of his observations. And according to him, a lot of science is being developed around clean energy and anti-gravity that we don't know about. And I encourage you to go to his website, which is, it's very simple. It's BrianOLeary.info. It's BrianOLeary.info. And just a fascinating individual. And I'm really, really sorry to see him pass. He was a wonderful gentleman, and he contributed quite a bit to our understanding of to free energy. So anyhow, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a little tribute to him on the Facebook page, and give you some links to what he's all about. Boy, so that kind of makes me a little sad about that. Today we are talking about the third eye. Everything about the third eye. Guest today is Susan Shumke. I had a chance to talk to her a little bit just before we went on the air, and it turns out that Susan has done, and I remember Susan in the late 1990s, giving talks at the expos, and she was an integral part of a lot of our programming. But the third eye is unique, and I bring it up in the program because it's discussed in ancient texts. The Egyptians, the Maya, the Greeks all had a focus around this ancient tradition of intuition, developing third eye, a lot of techniques, sacred schools around it. And let me tell you a little bit about Susan. She's dedicated her life to helping people take command of their lives in highly effective, powerful, and positive ways. She is an award-winning author of 11 books, The Power of the Chakra, The Power of the Auras, and Ascension. I think Ascension, she mentioned, was one of her better sellers. For 22 years, her mentor was the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, which I did not know, because I've learned transcendental meditation when I was younger, and I still to this day practice that form of meditation. So that's quite interesting. She actually served on the Maharishi's personal staff for 7 years. She's a pioneer in the human potential field and a highly respected spiritual teacher for over 50 years. She's the founder of Divine Revelation, a unique field-proven technology for contacting the divine presence, hearing and testing the inner voice, and receiving clear divine guidance. Welcome to the program, Susan.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to be here with you today.
Great. You're calling us from, you're in New Mexico, right?
Today I'm in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, you're in Denver, Colorado. Okay, great. Okay, fantastic. Hey, this is a wonderful book. I had a good opportunity to look through it. It's quite detailed in all aspects. Can you tell us a little bit about the historical perspectives around the third eye? I mean, I just mentioned its use, its understanding in a lot of sacred societies of the Egyptians and other ancient cultures. But I mean, those are their wisdom schools. What can you tell us a little bit about on the historical perspective, though?
Yes. Okay. So the third eye has been known about for a very long time, particularly in India and in China. So the ancients were very well aware that there is a third eye, and that third eye is essential when it comes to developing spirituality, developing subtle sensory perception or supersensory perception, as I call it. So many of the cultures were familiar with this idea. Even the ancient Greeks, Plato knew about it, and he knew about the chakras, and he knew about the third eye as being one of the chakras. And of course, in ancient Egypt, we have the Eye of Horus. And in ancient Greece, we have the Polyphemus, that is the Cyclops. And I mean, it really runs through many different cultures, ancient cultures, because it's real. It is an aspect of our subtle body that really exists. It's not just a fantasy.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a few of the aspects or the attributes of associated with the third eye. What would you say is in more clearly defined terms, what an attribute is of a third eye? Is it deeper intuition? Is it accessing other realms? A fully developed third eye person using the third eye is what? Able to psychically perceive things?
Cliff, yes, it is all of the above and much more, because the third eye is the eye of illumination by which we see the truth and know the truth. It is the aspect of our being that helps us to be free, to attain spiritual awakening and enlightenment. It is also the seat of subtle sensory perception. So if we're developing our clairvoyant, clairaudient, or clairsentient abilities, it's seated right there in that area of the third eye. It is our, what we call Ajna Chakra, which is the sixth major chakra in your subtle energy system. So it is, and Ajna Chakra means command center, literally, in Sanskrit. So it is commanding and controlling the rest of our bodily system. It is commanding and controlling all of the endocrine glands. It is seated in the area of the pineal gland, and also in the area of these other major glands in the head, the hypothalamus, and so on. So the reality is that it is really regulating the entire system, but also the command center is the center of spiritual knowledge and awakening. So the third eye is very essential and important center, not only in reference to health, but also in reference to spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that the ancient cultures that I've described and that you have outlined had a better understanding for the use of the third eye, and that's why they were so preoccupied with developing the third eye?
Definitely. I mean, in our modern world at the moment, in the West, in this country, America, we are not really, we actually deny the entire subtle system. You know, we have this gross physical body, and that's the only thing that Western medicine focuses on. They don't focus on the subtle system whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, but of course, Chinese medicine does, Ayurvedic medicine does. So in the East, it is very well known, this whole subtle system. But in the West, there's just a denial of anything that is not materialistic, that is not seen through our physical five senses. So this sixth sense, or subtle sensory perception, is just denied. I mean, if a child is having these experiences, often the parents will tell them that they're having imaginary experiences and that they should stop doing it, you know. So even the children are not encouraged to develop their subtle sensory perception.
Okay. Yeah, and I know during my time visiting with Mayan elders that they had a lengthy tradition of psychic development through meditation, through various practices that actually enhanced third eye perception, which is intuition and psychic development and things like that. So it's an ancient form or a tradition that we don't consider valid in our society, which is probably a cause for a lot of physical and mental illness, which is kind of sad.
For sure, because people who, I noticed that earlier in the show you were talking about mental illness and schizophrenia, and the reality is that many of these people who are diagnosed as mentally ill or schizophrenic are actually very sensitive people. In other words, they're psychic people or spiritual people, and they're having experiences that they don't understand. And then they go to the psychiatrist to try to understand their experiences, but the psychiatrist has never had these experiences and does not understand these experiences. So they end up just giving them drugs, which dulls their senses and which really knocks out all of their subtle sensory perception. So it's really sad because these people who have these spiritual gifts are not able to develop them because the powers that be don't know what to do with them. So I do believe that almost all people who have mental illness, the reason that they have it is because they are very sensitive to subtle energies.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was talking about is the shamanistic view of a lot of these people in these mental hospitals is that they are trying to cross over to a higher level of consciousness, and they don't have somebody to help them get across.
That's
and
correct.
So they are being deemed ill and drugged and electroshock treated and pretty much put away because they cannot cross over. And that's a fascinating thought. Let's talk a little bit about the third eye. Let's tell our audience a little bit about the physical position of the pineal gland, which is the third eye organ. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's important for your listeners to understand that the third eye is in your subtle body. It's not in your gross physical body. If you were to dissect a corpse, you would not find a third eye anywhere. So the third eye is part of your subtle energy system. We have this gross physical body, and then we have these various sheaths or layers of the subtle body. And some of these layers are the pranamaya kosha, which means your energy body, and your manamaya kosha, which is your mental body, mental emotional body, then your vijnanamaya kosha, which is your intellect ego body, and your anandamaya kosha, which is your causal body. And these bodies are talked about in ancient India. And the body that contains the third eye is what's known as your pranamaya kosha. Prana means life force energy. And in India, they call it prana. In China, they call it qi. And in Japan, they call it ki. So this prana energy or life force energy is flowing through a subtle energy system, a subtle body. And this subtle body contains conduits of subtle energy, which are called nadi. In India, they're called meridians in China. And then there are plexuses where many of these conduits intersect. And these plexuses of energy are called chakra in India, and they are called points in China. So these chakras are regulating your physical body, and they are centers of pranic energy or life force energy. So there are seven major ones of these chakras in your energy body, your pranamaya kosha. And one of these, the sixth one, which is located in the area, in the middle of your head, basically, in the area of the pineal gland, is called the Ajna chakra. So it is located in the pineal gland, but it is also located in other areas of your head, in the forehead area and in the back of the head. Mm-hmm. So it does encompass quite a bit of the head, but there are sub-centers within it. The main center of that chakra is the pineal gland, which is right in the center of your head, actually. So that's where you will locate it if you want a physical place for it to be located.
Okay. So you're talking about subtle energies that surround the physical body. But isn't there a secretion that the pineal gland gives off? It's called DMT, that is part of the function and helps us to tap into these other realms?
Yes. Very recently, actually, there's been a lot of research done on the pineal gland. And in my book, Awaken Your Third Eye, I talk about a lot of the scientific research. Well, actually, I shouldn't say a lot of it. I just barely scratched the surface because there's been so much research done on the pineal gland. However, the discovery of melatonin, which is one of the main things that is secreted by the pineal gland, was in 1958. And then serotonin, they discovered that melatonin and serotonin are both secreted by the pineal gland. But in 2013, very recently, there was a stunning discovery made. Stunning. Rick Strassman and his group, the Cottonwood Research Group, they discovered in a mammal, they discovered in a rodent, a secretion from the pineal gland of DMT, which is dimethyltryptamine. Now, dimethyltryptamine is a drug that was very popular in the 1960s when some of us were hippies, such as me, and we people like us would ingest DMT to have a very intense psychedelic trip and to have experiences of otherworldly perception of mm-hmm. others, the higher consciousness, shall we say, or maybe just other consciousness, you know, just strange experiences, hallucinations, and so on. So right now, the Amazon has become a tourist destination. The jungle of the Amazon, for those who seek DMT in the form of ayahuasca, which is, that's a shamanic medicine that's sacred to indigenous South American cultures. And it is used in shamanic ceremonies. It is a plant medicine, and it's mm-hmm. used for healing and also for opening our awareness to subtle realms that are beyond this physical world. So the Aguaruna Indians of the Amazon, they've been using ayahuasca in ritual ceremonies since 500 BC. And they create a concoction that's made of leaves and stems from various psychedelic plants. Mm-hmm. So the shamanic people of the Amazon, they say that this helps to awaken understanding of the self and the communion with a higher power. And so there's been research done on DMT, and Rick Strassman finally discovered this. He and his colleagues, discovered right. this amazing discovery, and I'll tell you why it's amazing. Because what it does is it shows or proves that the third eye really is the seat of higher perception. It is the gateway to other realms and realities. It's a place where we can visit beings from other realms, divine beings. It's a place where we can see things that are hidden from view, because all of that takes place when people ingest this chemical called DMT, and it is secreted by the pineal gland. I mean, this is just completely amazing and mind-blowing. So it is really an extraordinary discovery.
You know, it's funny how we've lost our path as human beings, especially in Western culture. Those of us, I mean, I meditate, during the day, and I don't always meditate, but that's my solace. That's my way of kind of disconnecting from the flow of the insanity of our culture. I'm on the internet all the time. I'm on my cell phone. I'm watching TV. I'm in traffic. And these subtle techniques, these accessing these sensories, at one point was a part of our hold on a second.
Did you lose your feed?
Whoops, hang on a second.
Maybe I'm still on the line.
Hang on a second. Hi, Susan. Hello. Susan.
Yes.
Hi there. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
My computer there just went goofy. So let's get back to what we were talking about. I was basically outlining the loss of intuition in Western culture and the loss of perception and dimensional perception. And this book is fascinating. By the way, the title of the book, and I didn't mention it at the beginning, is Awaken Your Third Eye. And it is written by my guest here. Let's see here. And it's called, what the rest of it is, How Accessing Your Sixth Sense Can Help You Find Knowledge, Illumination, and Intuition. So you felt strongly enough about this that you have created this a fantastic book. Is it your feeling that we've lost a sense of this important part of our sensory? I mean, because there's so much going on in our society, we're out of touch with this, wouldn't you say?
Well, the thing is that everyone does have this within them, does have these subtle sensory perceptions within them, and they can be developed. And maybe in other cultures, maybe in other times, people in society were more attuned to these subtle sensory perceptions. But hope is not lost. Everyone on this call, everyone who's listening here, can develop their subtle sensory perception. And by the way, it's already developed in all of you to some degree. For example, if you walk into a home, you may immediately sense this place feels really warm and welcoming, or this place seems to have a tense vibration, or maybe this place has a really dense vibration. If you walk into, for example, a nursing home or a mental institution or a hospital or a prison or a bar, you're going to get a really dense feeling, a really dense vibration. You want to walk out because it just doesn't feel good in this place. If you meet someone for the first time, you can sense whether this person seems closed or open, whether this person seems angry or this person seems uptight or maybe frightened, maybe shy. you know, you can tell. You can tell right away. And that just indicates that you do have this perception already developed to some degree. So I think that we all have it. And by the way, in recent years, this world is becoming less vibrationally dense, this planet actually, planetarily. And so people are having more and more subtle sensory perceptions than they did, say, 50 years ago. So people are more attuned to it now than they were, you know, half a century ago or a century ago. So that's a good sign. We are going more and more in the direction of the subtle sensory perception.
Would you say that the various electromagnetic frequencies that are out there are affecting the pineal gland and our sensory perception, or can we overcome those by just eliminating the use or just other forms of practices?
Okay, well, there are many things environmentally that are affecting our pineal gland and also that are affecting our subtle energy system. Not only the EMF radiations that you touched upon, but also what they call LAN, which is light at night pollution, meaning that we're not getting enough darkness in our experience, and therefore the production of melatonin is being curbed because we're not getting enough. Melatonin is only produced when we're in the dark. We have to have darkness because the pineal gland actually can see the light in the darkness. So that's kind of interesting. And I could go into the science of that in a minute. But the fact is that there are several things that are dampening our pineal gland and our third eye. Also fluoridation, the fluoridated water, the GMOs. There's so many things that are poisons that are poisoning our system. But the good news is that the actual third eye is not physical. It's in our subtle body. And therefore, if we work with the subtle body through meditation and various practices that I recommend in my book, Awaken Your Third Eye, I actually offer many, many, many practices to help you to awaken your third eye. If you work with these in your subtle body, that is not dependent necessarily so much on the physical body. It is to some degree, but not entirely. So we can overcome these things that are polluting our physical body. And we can develop our third eye despite these poisons in the environment.
Mm-hmm. But you, in your book, really do focus on maintaining a healthy pineal gland. And you talk about things like decalcifying the pineal gland and moving towards a healthy lifestyle, which is eating well of organic or healthy foods, eating raw occasionally. And I mean, obviously those are areas that you're emphasizing to have a physical pineal gland that is optimally healthy. So obviously the subtle energies are one part, but the physical is also important, right?
It is. Yes, it is also important. And there are things that you can do to maintain your subtle body in a healthy manner, including diet, including perhaps taking some of these supplements that I recommend and so on. And the reality is that in average adults, the pineal gland is very calcified. It has become very, very poisoned by calcium and fluoride and these various things that cause it to calcify. That's why you often find that children, when they don't have this calcification, that they have more subtle sensory perception. So you can decalcify your pineal gland, and also you can do some exercises to help you to become healthier in your subtle body. And these include yogic exercises that I recommend, which include asana, which are yoga postures, pranayama, which means breathing exercises, mudra, which means muscular locks, mudra, which means gestures, and abandha, which means muscular locks. And I do teach the specific ones for awakening your third eye in my book, Awaken Your Third Eye. So there are these practices, but also meditation. For example, the Tratika meditation, which is gazing kind of meditation where you're using soft focused vision that helps you to develop your clairvoyant perception. And Tratika meaning the type of meditation where you're gazing at a candle, gazing at the face of a divine being in a picture, gazing, doing mirror gazing, looking at yourself in a mirror in a darkened room, or gazing at a star or the moon or the sky or the horizon. There's many ways you can do Tratika meditation, but the idea of it is that it is using and developing your soft focused vision. And so that can really help. And also in the book, Awaken Your Third Eye, I teach people how to do the microcosmic orbit, which is a Taoist practice, a traditional practice that helps you to awaken your third eye. And on top of that, in one of the chapters of this book, Awaken Your Third Eye, I give you the secret key that unlocks the Yoga Sutras so that you can practice what's called Sanyama, which is a very esoteric practice known in ancient India, which modern people have no clue how to practice it, even though it's somewhat talked about in the book, the Yoga Sutras. People don't really know how to do that. And I do give you the key to how to do that and how to use that practice specifically to develop your subtle sensory perception. So this book does go through a lot of different ways that you can you can develop your third eye and awaken your third eye.
Why do we today need to have a strengthened third eye? Why what can it do for us? What can that kind of perception do for us who have to get in our car in the morning to go off to work, to sit in meetings, to sit in, work on our computers, work in our business place? Well, what does it help us do?
Well, thanks for asking that, Cliff, because in my opinion, the most practical and important reason to open your third eye is that you're going to be able to develop your intuition, meaning you're going to be able to communicate with beings that are much more knowledgeable and intelligent and see the bigger picture than our ego does. So that means that we can communicate with divine beings, and we can communicate with deities and beings who see this wider perspective. Also, our own higher self, by the way, is included in that list. So if we can communicate with these divine beings and with our own inner divine being, then that means we can ask questions and receive inner guidance. And that means that our life is going to change completely. Because if you're able to have a flow of inner divine guidance and clear intuition, and be able to make decisions in your practical everyday life about practical everyday things in your life, make those decisions with peaceful confidence, knowing that you're being guided by spirit with a capital S. You're being guided on the right pathway. If you can do that, then you sort of have it made in the shade, meaning you're able to live your true purpose and destiny. You're able to fulfill your mission. You're able to just get real good advice on a daily basis about what's the next step to take in very practical affairs, such as money, relationships, health, whatever your concerns are in your life, job, children, parents, you know, whatever you want to ask about, you'll get the answer from within yourself, because the third eye is your storehouse of true divine knowledge. It's your storehouse of truth. So you can tap into that and receive the answer to any question. I mean, what is more amazing than that?
Doesn't it take years to do that kind of stuff? I mean, years of practice and quietly sitting in a room. And I mean, what would you say? And your book, by the way, is filled with wonderful practice techniques and things like that. But to really access the areas you're talking about and talk to these divine beings and your inner guidance, doesn't it take a long time to develop?
It used to. 100 years ago, it was practically impossible. But the world has developed. The spiritual energy and vibration of this planet has lifted to such a degree that people who wanted to do this and wanted to develop this, even 30 years ago, it would take them many months to be able to develop this ability, and now it only takes a few minutes to be able to have this same experience. The reason I know that is because I've been teaching, and I know how long it takes for people to have the experience. So this is something that people can experience very, very quickly. And it didn't used to be that way, by the way, but now it is that way.
You actually give some wonderful examples in your book of people accessing their higher levels through their third eye. Can you give one example of somebody who maybe was in your class, who came in maybe questioning the techniques, but was very interested in trying to do this work and actually achieved what you would call some kind of success?
Okay, so there is one example of a person who, he was on a rock climbing expedition, and his rope leader did something that he shouldn't have done. He took him on a route far more difficult than his skill level, and he found himself two-thirds of the way up a sheer rock face without having a way to continue forward or a way of going back down. And he really thought this was the end and that he was going to die. But suddenly he felt a very reassuring presence, and from somewhere the inner voice, the divine voice, instructed him what to do. So he seemed to suddenly gain his skills and energy that he didn't know he had before. He somehow found himself making his way up to the top, and then the rope leader said to him, "Well, I knew you could do that."
And he had been practicing with you some technique to have that guidance come through, or what was the foundation?
So the inner voice, to learn how to allow that inner voice to come to you, or to him, and to anyone listening here, it is possible to learn how to do that. It can come, and you can ask for it, by the way, as well. And asking is definitely a part of the process. So ask and it shall be given unto you is the main feature of what I teach. Mm-hmm. So it's about asking and receiving. And you will find strength. You will find a way to get yourself out of a difficult situation when you ask. But it isn't just about difficult situations. It can be in any situation where you want guidance, where you want inspiration. It's about asking and receiving. And I'll tell your audience right now, or your listeners right now, how to do that. It's so simple. All you have to do is you just sit down in a chair, you close your eyes, you take a few deep breaths, you get quiet and still and centered and balanced within yourself, and then maybe you take some more deep breaths. The deep breaths are really, really important. So I emphasize, take more deep breaths. Go even deeper, get even more centered, take even more deep breaths. And then when you feel that you are really in a quiet state, when you are centered and balanced within yourself, then do something that people don't usually do when they meditate. And that is ask. Ask a question, ask for guidance, ask for inspiration. Ask and ask for what you want to get an answer to, or ask for some specific experience, and then take some more deep breaths. Take another deep breath, and then do what I call the do nothing program. That means do nothing nothing and less than nothing. And then the still small voice will come to you and it will give you guidance. It will give you the answer to your question. It will give you inspiration. Mm-hmm. So you will receive when you ask, as long as you are in a state where you can receive, where you're receptive to receive. So mm-hmm. that's how it works.
And there has to be a level of trust in what you get, I would think, because for those of us who have not had access to these higher realms and these entities, these divine beings, having someone tell you something in your head when it first comes through must be like shock. Like, what was that? So
I understand.
It's a level of trust, wouldn't you say? Or how would you describe that?
Yeah, what I'd like to say is that trust or faith, whatever you want to call it, comes from experience. So if you have amazing things happening to you on a regular basis, then then you really develop trust and faith. For example, we have a minute for me to tell a little short story?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so, all right, here's a good story. A friend of mine, she just tends to want to, let's put it this way. She does a lot of internet dating. So she's looking for the one. And she seems a little bit obsessed with it, but that's okay. She's my good friend. I love her anyway. So she was internet dating, and she found this guy. And, okay, he's the one, she tells me. And she's in love. She's over the moon. She's completely ecstatic. She finally found the one, you know. She finally found somebody that can really, really understand her, has all the same interests as her. So somehow I went into a meditation and I asked about this because I had a bad feeling about this guy. I immediately just felt there was something wrong. So I asked in meditation and I got the message and it said, the con man always has the best story. That's the message I got, literally. The con man always has the best story.
Hmm.
And then I asked Spirit, well, is it wise for me to tell her, to warn her? And they said, no, she has to learn something from this experience. So I didn't say anything to her. I said nothing. Meanwhile, wow. She continued to tell me how great this relationship was. And then she went to visit him in Hawaii because that's where he lives. So he visited her, by the way, and you know, he visited her where she lived. And then she went out to meet him in Hawaii. And then I didn't hear from her, except for I got some pictures in the mail and they were labeled happy and she's all happy and she's in Hawaii and she's in love and all that. So then a couple weeks later, I decided I'd call her to see how her trip went to Hawaii. And she said, I came back early. I said, oh, what happened? She said, well, he was drunk on the couch. And I kept getting this message from Spirit that told me, go look at his phone. And then she kind of argued with Spirit. And she said, no, I don't want to look at his phone. By the way, I tend to argue with Spirit myself, too. So she's arguing, don't look at the phone. And she says, She says, I don't want to look at the phone. And Spirit says, go look at the phone. And then the third time arguing with Spirit, go look at the phone. She got the message three times. So finally she went and looked at his phone while he's, you know, drunk and passed out on the couch. And she finds that this guy is internet dating with a lot of different women, not just her, and they're all over his phone. Okay, well, it just so happened that they had already gotten she and this guy, the drunk guy, they had already gotten the marriage license and they were going to get married in a few hours from then. And this kind of saved her. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, when I received the message not to say anything to her, Spirit said to me, we are going to protect her. Don't worry. So I really didn't worry about it. I was told by Spirit that they were going to protect her. Well, yeah, they protected her at the 11th and a half hour. And then she flew back to the States, you know, and she was saved from that horrible situation. So, he was a con man. And I was worried. The main reason I was worried was because she had told me that he was going to help her with her taxes, and I was afraid she was going to give him information about her bank account. But she told me later that, no, she didn't do that. She thought
that's
about
a fascinating story. So she actually, she actually had a sense of her intuition, but not enough to wake her up to this guy that she was working with or dating.
Yeah, wishful thinking is a very difficult trap to overcome. People have wishful thinking, and because of that, they confuse their ego with their higher self. So they don't they're not necessarily clear when receiving inner guidance. That's just one of many stories. I mean, I've got hundreds of stories about people who have used their intuition or not used it, and what kind of things have happened. A lot of interesting stories that that I've had too, you know, myself. Yeah. But
you know, it's interesting. In your book, you have a section on what you call psychic blocks. And you go into great deal detail about how to unblock, I think they're called chakra blocks. Why? How do you do that? And why are chakra blocks so important to release to access the third eye?
Yeah, actually, they're called gruntis, G-R-A-N-T-H-I, grunty. Mm-hmm. So a grunty is that's a Sanskrit word again. And they are specific blocks that are blocking what we call the kundalini energy. The kundalini is a special spiritual pranic energy. It's actually just prana, that life force energy, but it's a specialized energy that flows up through the midline, through your spinal column. Once again, remember, it's in your subtle body, not in your gross physical body. But it flows up through there, and as it flows up the spine, it awakens your chakras, it opens your chakras, and it opens, at the same time, opens your subtle sensory perception, opens your spiritual gifts, and eventually opens your spiritual awakening and enlightenment. So there are certain specific blocks that they talk about in the ancient scriptures of India, and those three blocks are in the area of the base of your spine, in the area of your heart, and in the area of your third eye. So those are the three basic psychic, they call them psychic blocks or grunties. So it's important to open those and to be able to, for kundalini to be able to flow up your spine so that you can awaken the third eye and achieve spiritual enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Hey, what, I mean...
And by the way, there are very simple techniques to do that. They're called bandhas, and I do teach the bandhas. These are muscular locks that help you to awaken the kundalini and to break up those grunties. So it's in the book, Awaken Your Third Eye. It's not difficult. It's actually really easy to practice these things, these muscular locks. So
okay.
you can do them.
If you were to kind of stretch your mind for a minute and kind of think about the ancient cultures, do you think that they routinely, like everybody had access to their third eye, or was it more the initiates, the priests that use these techniques?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on how ancient you want to talk about.
Ancient Maya, or the Babylonians, or the Greeks, or even before that, you know.
Yeah, so that's not very ancient, because I believe in the Yuga system of ancient India. Where,
okay, well,
you know,
good.
We're
talking
about
let's talk about people that may have lived pre-flood. Talk about ancient people. I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, the ancient people who lived at a time called the Golden Age or Sat Yuga, definitely. Everybody was developed, highly developed, spiritually developed people. We are not in Sat Yuga right now. We're one of the other Yugas. And most people believe that we're in Kali Yuga, which is the age of ignorance. Some people believe that we're in Dwapara Yuga, which is not quite as bad. But the ancient golden ages, yes, of course, everyone was highly spiritually developed, probably they could communicate even telepathically. And so there have been times on this planet when people were really highly, highly developed spiritually, and that they routinely use their subtle sensory perception. That's not true now. And many people are in dire ignorance and very bad situation. But of course, in maybe in more recent times, shall we say, in the ancient Egyptian culture, you know, I think maybe the priestly people may have had their, definitely, I would say, not just maybe, definitely had subtle sensory perception. I think that's probably true in almost all the ancient cultures that you could name. There were people who were highly developed, and then the average people, they just weren't. And that's why there were different classes of people. There's the priestly class, or the initiates, shall we say, or the shamans, or whatever they were, but they had these perceptions that other people didn't have, and that's why they had those positions in society.
It seems to me that we have lost really a sense of our physicality and the subtle realms. I mean, and this is the need for shamans and people like yourself, because we don't really know who we are. If this third eye is a part of us, it's built in, it's part of our physical and multiple dimensions. And so this is an important book that you've written, as well as many of your other books. But would you say that we have come to a time where we're renewing the practice of accessing the third eye, and it's very, very important? Or would you say it's just still kind of a whoever can pick it up, good for you kind of a deal?
Well, I would say, Cliff, that we definitely are in a different time. We are definitely in an age now. And this has really changed dramatically over the last 100 years. We're now in a time when people are much more interested in developing our spirituality. And no matter what religious practice we follow, people in general are more interested in developing spiritually, developing meditation, developing yogic practices, martial arts, healthy diet, healthy lifestyle. I mean, it's just like exploding. And it's very, very different than when I was a child. I'll tell you that much. In our society, it's completely different. It's a different world. And so, yes, people are more interested in it. People are developing it more. And the proliferation of knowledge now with the internet and all the ways that we can get knowledge is so easily accessible. I mean, when I was a child, there were 2 esoteric bookstores in the entire country, and you would not find any esoteric book in a mainstream bookstore, period. Now you find all the esoteric books in the mainstream bookstores, and you find all the same stuff on the internet. You know, you don't even have to go to a bookstore anymore. You just get it at home. It's completely different.
Yeah. So you believe that it's part of the so-called New Age movement to be able to, and of course for me and for you, the New Age movement's been going on for 40 years.
Exactly. There's nothing new. And it's not new, by the way. It's about ancient wisdom being revived. That's what it
right.
is.
Right. Would you say that at some point the guidance that you receive by tapping into this higher self, higher wisdom, is useful for everyday activities? In other words, would you say that you can ingrain it into all your activities, or is it only good for like questions and answers kind of thing at certain points of your day when you're quiet?
No, if you actually get some practice with this, you can do it anytime, anywhere. you can, for example, go to the health food store and decide which supplement would be wise for you to purchase at that time. You could use it in any situation, in a business meeting, for example, if you have to make a decision. You can tap into that when you get a little practice with it. So, you know, it just takes practice. It's like learning any skill, like playing a piano, for example. You have to practice. So practice, and you get better and better and better at it. It flows more smoothly. You're able to receive the guidance more easily and effortlessly. And so, yeah, it's definitely extremely practical, and you can use it anytime in everyday life to solve everyday problems, to receive divine guidance, wisdom, inspiration, to answer very mundane questions. And I actually recommend people, use it to get answers to everyday questions. I think it's better to use it for mundane things, especially since we are dealing with mundane problems. That's what we deal with on an everyday basis. And of course, you can also take time to ask questions that you want answers to from that are very deep philosophical kinds of questions. But hey, I think it's really great when you have a practical way to help you in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who have practiced certain types of meditative awarenesses and have done the spiritual work, and they describe different levels of access. In other words, there's the higher self, but there's also these divine beings that are accessible at certain points in a practice. Do you find that something to try to achieve in accessing the third eye, or is it more that you should just be aware of intuition?
Okay, so what I teach something called Divine Revelation. I have two books on it. One's called Divine Revelation, which is my first book, which is published by Simon & Schuster. And then I have another book called How to Hear the Voice of God. And I have a book coming out later this year also called Awaken Your Divine Intuition. And in these books, I help people to learn how to, and also in my book, Awaken Your Third Eye, by the way, the one we're talking about today. All those books are about learning how to listen to the still small voice within, which is your higher self, and which also includes communicating with divine beings, communicating with, I just describe it as beings that are much smarter than our own ego. they know much better what's, and I don't even want to call them they, because it's actually we, it's actually our own higher being. That we're tapping into, which includes these divine beings. These deities are, in fact, within us. They're not out there on a cloud somewhere else. They're everywhere. They're present everywhere. And because we are somewhere, we are where they are. We are where God is. We are where divine beings are. So they're everywhere. So we can tap into these, and we can communicate with these divine beings to get answers to our everyday problems. So I definitely recommend that people do that. I mean, that's part of what I teach. So I'm a big advocate for people listening to that inner voice, and that inner voice includes divine beings.
Mm-hmm. In the few minutes we have left, your examples of people using their third eye, opening the third eye, are great. Can you give us another example of somebody that you had direct experience with that maybe was in your class that had an experience directly associated with the awakening of their third eye?
Okay.
I just think they're great examples because like the poor guy who was up on the mountain cliff, and all of a sudden he was like, I'm a dead man. And then he's like, okay, we have some guidance here for you. I love those stories.
Right. What I really like to tell is the story about myself, if that would be acceptable.
Of course.
Would that be acceptable?
Okay. There's I mean, there's no rating on this program, so unless you're going to get very intimate, I think we're good. And actually, intimacy is good, too. I don't care.
I'll tell a story. Maybe it'll take too long. All right, let me use another story. All right, so there's a woman named Melissa. She's a jewelry designer from Fayetteville, Arkansas. And she went to bed one night, and she had physically overdone it. She was feeling kind of achy. And then, as I mentioned, it's a good idea to call upon divine beings. So that's exactly what she did. She started calling in the energy of Archangel Raphael to heal the discomfort and the tension in her body and to relax it. And that was working really well. And then it just occurred to her to call in what she called a Christ healing frequency. So she started doing that. And the next thing she knew, the entire inside of her head lit up like an airport runway. It was a massive blast of white light inside her head that totally blinded her with light. And then her whole body shuddered for about a minute. And then when it was over, she thought, whew. So that was her awakening of her third eye. And she is one of my students. Another gentleman, he actually was able to foresee the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers, which is extraordinary.
Wow. So he had a premonition, or he actually saw...
What happened with him is that he was in bed, he dozed off, and he saw in his mind's eye a plane repeatedly slamming into a tall building. This was on September 9th of 2001, 2 days before the September 11th terrorist attack. The vision repeated itself 10 times or so before he was forced awake and sat up in bed, breathless and shaken. It took him about an hour before he went back to sleep. 2 days later, on September 11th, his mother came into his bedroom crying, and he asked if the dog had died, because they had a small 15-year-old dog that had been ill, and he thought maybe the dog had died, and that's why she was crying. She said no and told him to come into the living room, and she pointed to the TV, and he saw the building with smoke coming out of it, and the other building next to it with the explosion. So at first he didn't understand what he was seeing. And then she told him about the planes that flew into the buildings. And oh my God, and he remembered that he had had that vision that in his dream, that vision had come to him. So, you know, that was very, he said he felt sick and he nearly vomited. And that experience left him shaken for several months. It took him a long time to learn how to handle that kind of vision.
So he got a real dose of his intuition there.
I would say so.
A dose of his inner guidance. That's amazing. My guest has been Susan Shumsky. Her book is Awaken Your Third Eye, How Accessing Your Sixth Sense Can Help You Find Knowledge, Illumination, and Intuition. Why don't you give us your website and tell us a little bit about where we can find you. Are you going to be talking at all this summer? We're getting into the summer months now. Are you going to be out anywhere? Sure. Why don't you give us some information?
Absolutely. So my website is drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. And on that website, you can read the first chapter of all my books. You can listen interviews. Yeah. You can listen to interviews. You can read articles. You can purchase products that are physical. I have 11 books in print. I have CDs, DVDs. I have downloadable products as well that you can access, and a lot of different products on that website if you wish to purchase something. It's a good idea to subscribe there, because then you'll be notified of things that I'm doing and things that are coming up. And also you'll be notified of a lot of different free telesummits and teleseminars that I do. And in addition to that, I have another website called Divine Travels, divinetravel.com. That's divinetravels.com. Divinetravels.com. And it's a really good idea to subscribe there, because then you can be notified about the incredible opportunities for travel. I do take people on trips. For example, I have 2 Peru tours coming up this year. I have a cruise coming up this year, which is a huge seminar at sea. It's a shamanic seminar that's coming up at sea. I've got 2 of those planned for next year as well. So you can check those out at divinetravels.com. And yeah, check that out.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for being with us. And this has been a real interesting exploration about the third eye. Awakening the Third Eye is the book. And I was a great deal of fun, and I appreciate you being on the program.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Cliff. It was really a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and it definitely will be going out to all the stations. So thanks again. I want to let everybody know that next week, the guest is Courtney Brown, Dr. Courtney Brown, and we're going to be talking about remote viewing, which has been an interest of mine for a long time. But Courtney has actually began looking at subjects like the ancient by the way, it's not just Courtney, it's a number of his team members who have worked. They're ex-military remote viewers, which makes for a fascinating subject matter. But he's going to talk about remote viewing, the ancient pyramids, ancient societies, and Atlantis. So stay tuned to that program. Hope you're all well. Take care. We'll talk to you again.